Friday afternoon. Welcome into NOCO Now. I am Tanner Schwint. This program presented to you by the J9 Agencies, J9 Crop Insurance, J9 Insurance. Live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios, we are ready to roll. Ryan Kelly doing the production work. As always, we have a packed show. We normally try and schedule one VIP guest. Well, we've got two that we're going to get to throughout the course of this program. People still reeling a little bit from the Chassa decision, and I think people are starting to find their footing a little bit. A lot of anger, a lot of confusion, a lot of what's next, and we're going to talk with an athletic director that they're dealing with the ramifications of now it's shortened seasons, we need to cut some games out, what does that look like, what does safe practices look like, and now they were preparing for just about every scenario. And Steve Longwell up with the Eaton Reds, I know he's a pro's pro. He's been doing it for a long time, and he was ready to roll. So we're going to talk to Steve about, even with all that preparation, was it a little bit of a surprise? And what does it look like? I mean, that's the first time we've ever seen football that's going to be played in the spring. It's going to be very, very strange. But we'll dive in with that. We'll talk about the process, because that's what I'm curious about, right? We were left in the dark. We had our quote-unquote sources that were feeding us some of the information. But really, at the end of the day, the only people that knew what was going on was Rhonda Blanford Green of Chassa, as well as the governor. And it came down to, well, the governor didn't think that any other sports outside of the cross country, softball, men's golf, and men's tennis were acceptable to go at this point. With that being said, they had the first golf tournament on Thursday, just yesterday. And as promised, Governor Polis was out at the event with Rhonda Blanford Green and the rest of the Chassa staff. So we'll talk to Steve Longwell, the Eaton Athletic Director, about all of that. We haven't talked with the Weld County Commissioner, the Chairman, Mike Freeman, in a while. We'll talk with Mike. Where's Weld County sitting at right now in terms of the COVID numbers? What's next with schools reopening? Does he expect a spike? And then, of course, we talked a while back about the lawsuit that was declined, and actually the judge ruled in favor of the state. The commissioners filed a lawsuit to try and repeal some of the pollution policies put in place by the governor, and that was declined and ruled against. So we'll talk with Mike Freeman about that a little bit as well. Coming up later in the program, we'll get to the headline that caught my eye. Let's get into news for NOCO. This out of the Tribune: Weld RE4 School District remains committed to the reopening plan. This from Ann Delaney out of the Tribune. Weld RE4 School District, so that is schools in Windsor and Severance, they're committed to opening when schools begin later this month. Can you believe we're in August already? The district posted an update on its website yesterday morning saying it plans to reopen August 17th and 18th with elementary students in a modified traditional schedule and with secondary students in a hybrid learning model based on the Board of Education's recommendation. The District 6 Board of Education is scheduled to host a special meeting at 9 a.m. This morning, actually, where the board will also discuss the district's current reopening plan that includes in-person learning for all students with high schools on a hybrid schedule alternating between remote and in-person classes. This seems to be what we're seeing with a lot of schools, is the alternating. We're also seeing some of the smaller schools are leaving it up to the parents and the students and saying, okay, do you feel comfortable? Do you feel safe? Do you feel okay coming in? If so, you're welcome to do so. If not, we've got online learning available. While the Weld RE4 post acknowledges the district expects, quote, it will be quite difficult for us to keep our doors open over the course of the coming year. The message also explained every community is operating under different contexts and making decisions based on their own circumstances. As we've talked about, Poudre School District has reversed its plan. It is going all online learning this semester. So we'll see if Weld RE4 and School District and District 6 stick to their plans, but that's where they're at as of now. Here's another quote coming out of the story. As you plan, be aware that transitions to a 14-day quarantine for one classroom or cohort, a school building, or our entire district may happen very quickly, potentially even overnight, the post read. Under the current CDPHE guidelines, it's a question of when, not if, some students will be learning off campus due to a probable or confirmed case of COVID-19. So that's something that will play in a role as well when you talk about athletics. Because if, let's say, the Eaton School District does get hit and they have to quarantine, obviously you're not going to be able to play those games. It's a shortened season already. Do you forfeit? There's a lot of questions to go into that. But that is our school district RE4's plan at the moment. Big news coming out of UNC today. UNC has canceled its conference games. It has canceled its conference games in the fall. They have moved them to the spring now. So they're planning on a spring football season, the Big Sky is. But they left the door open for non-conference games to be played, which begs the question, why exactly is that safer than the conference games? And the simple answer to that, I suppose, is that there's fewer games and fewer risk because you'll only play about three non-conference games. But if we're looking at this, with our big boy pants on, it's a money move, right? I mean, these non-conference games are normally money games for things like the Big Sky. Talk about the CSU game. That is still up in the air, but Brady Hull of the Hull Show had Darren Dunn on this afternoon. And he said several things have to fall into place. One, our league has to be okay with us playing non-conference, and that has not been finalized yet, and hopefully we'll have that in the next week or so. So that's the Ed McCaffrey era still could possibly start this fall, but it's not looking likely that it will, with most of the games being moved into the spring season. Let's go here. Are you wearing your mask? This out of the Colorado, and public health officials in Colorado are watching to find out. This is so creepy. This is from Jennifer Brown and Nancy Lothholm out of the Colorado Sun via the Colorado. They really are watching you. From their cars and trucks parked in the lots of King Soopers, Whole Foods, and the corner store, they're staring out their vehicle windows as you shop. But these guys, volunteers from the public health department, are only interested on what's on your face, mask or no mask. It's a simple tally mark, a quick and dirty assessment not meant for serious scientific scrutiny. This is their way of trying to find some sort of stat that they can use, saying, well, this many people is using it and are using the mask, and this one's not. And the only problem that I have with that is I'll wear a mask into a business that's requiring it, but as soon as I get outside, that bad boy's coming right off. So it's just creepy. And I will tell you what, I don't know if this is just me, but if I walk out of King Soopers and I see some guy in their car staring at me and then go down and take a note, I'm going to go see what's up. Like, I'm going to go talk to him and say, what are you doing? Like, why are you writing that? That's creepy, man. It really is. The quick and dirty, like, those are not things, like, talking about the tally marks. So far, the health department hasn't dug into the data deeply enough to figure out whether a weekly dip in mask wearing correlates with increasing cases of coronavirus 1 or 2 weeks later. But Tri-County at least has the data to do that work at some point. Okay, you got the data, go do it, said Brian Havlicek, the Tri-County's environmental health director. The public health department, one of the largest in the state, is among the few that is conducting mask surveys. Each week since April 26, volunteers have been out in their parked cars recording the data. That's since April 20. Is that creepy? Yeah, Ryan says it's creepy too. I mean, it's weird. They're just sitting there, we're watching you. Like, that is so strange. I get, like, but do a survey the conventional way. Don't have just some creep in a car. And I mean, they're volunteers for the public health department, so I shouldn't call them creeps. But the whole idea behind it is a little bit creepy. Like, I don't like that. I don't like the thought of somebody sitting in their car or watching and going, he's got a mask. Yep. They don't, like, silently casting judgment. Oh, he's not wearing a mask today. And yeah, I mean, it's so weird. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. That is NoCo News as we continue on here on NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. Want to get your thoughts out there. Call into the Alt Feed Mill Hotline, 970-353-1310, 970-353-1310, or text that text line at 31996. Want to get to this. Joe Biden and Donald Trump, President Trump, I don't know if you know this, but there's an election in November, and we haven't heard a lot from Joe Biden. And it seems like every time he does come out and say something, it doesn't work out very well for him. He had this to say in an interview over the weekend.
Yes. And by the way, what you all know, but most people don't know, unlike the African-American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things.
What the hell does that mean? This is the second suspect thing that Joe Biden has had to say about the African-American community.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
Like, why? What? Why is that okay? And the quick and short answer is that it's not. But I just want to remind everybody, because it's not being talked about, it's really, truly not, and I don't know why it's not. These two are going to have debates. There's three of them scheduled right now, starting in late September. And we thought that there was people outside of the United States that were using the debates as a source of comedy last 2016, 4 years ago, last presidential election. If you thought that was good, can you believe, like, you're not going to be able to believe what's going to come out of these debates. Joe Biden has said, Vice President Biden, those are just a couple of clips. So he's saying right off the bat that the African-American community, the black community, is not diverse. They all think the same. They all do the same things. They don't, like, isn't that like what this whole social injustice movement has been about? Is that you can't just clump us together. We're individuals. All of our lives matter. And then you have the Democratic nominee come out and say, unlike the black community, the Latino community has diverse thoughts. Like, I don't understand it. And I'm just going to say it. It's relatively embarrassing as a country that these are our two candidates. I mean, it just quite frankly is. If you've listened to this program, you know, I mean, it's pretty apparent, the political leaning, but even with that said, we've got a president right now that tweets way too much, and we've got Joe Biden who, if you cannot even argue the fact that Joe Biden is having cognitive, I don't want to use the term failure, but he really is. He's not able to put sentences together. It doesn't look good. So this November election is going to be a mess. But those debates, just a reminder, I just want to throw that out there that Joe Biden had that to say over the weekend. And a reminder that we are going to have presidential debates. I was wondering if those were going to get scheduled, because it felt like in 2016 they were already happening and coming around and stuff like that. That's not been the case this year. So the first one is scheduled for late September. President Trump is pushing for a fourth debate. Joe Biden would have to accept that. I've got a feeling that that's not going to be the case. Closing in on 4:19 now, the time. Let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll catch up with Steve Longwell, athletic director of the Eaton Reds, right here on NoCo Now on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
The best UNC Bears talk and game coverage lives on 1310 KFKA.
.21 the time here on NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. Here on a Friday afternoon, man, it was a hectic week again. It seems like it is every week, but again, this week, finally the decision from CHASA on what high school athletics are going to look like this year. And a lot of people have had a lot of different and outspoken opinions on it, but possibly people who haven't had a time to sit back and think about it, about what their opinion is on the matter, because they've been trying to adjust and go on the fly. Our athletic directors, and one of the best in the state, joining us now on the Alt-Feed Mill Hotline, that is Steve Longwell from the Eaton Reds. Steve, it was a long time coming, but you finally got the decision, and now off and running.
Yeah, and we are excited to be off and running, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen this year.
It was not what a lot of people expected. You kind of saw this coming, though, right? You kind of saw the four-season construction of this year happening?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you started seeing that type of thing pop up across the country in different states, and just looking at Colorado, and I kind of had a thought that something like this might come up.
Were you surprised that there was no talk about moving baseball to the fall?
You know, I know some that came up in conversation with some athletic directors throughout the state, but it didn't surprise me because I think that the whole goal was to try and keep everything as close to traditional seasons as possible. And then obviously, you know, with some of the guidelines and restrictions we have in place right now, we did have to move some of those other sports.
Yeah, of course, football and volleyball being the notable ones that had to be pushed back, but cross-country softball and men's tennis and men's golf happening. Steve, is it one of those things now that have you got your schedule set for good? Are you ready just to focus on running these events?
I think that's going to be an ongoing process throughout the year, to be honest with you, Tanner. But for the most part, I think athletic directors have softball schedules and golf schedules put in place, tennis schedules. We're all kind of scrambling right now with cross country because, you know, just finding out that announcement earlier this week and finding out what those limitations are, it's going to lead a lot of us to change up what our normal cross country schedule would look like.
What were those limitations that came down with cross country?
Well, the governor's task force came out with numbers of a regular season meet could only have 50 male runners and 50 female runners. And so you have about 7 members per team. So, you know, if everybody does the math, that's about 7 teams is all you can have. And traditionally, you may have 20-plus teams at a meet.
Yeah, so that puts a wrench in things for sure. So do you see more events happening with fewer teams, or do you see just different schools hosting different teams?
Yeah, I can't speak for the entire state, but I know within the Patriot League in Northern Colorado, we're all looking at doing smaller meets and more of them just to make sure our kids get an opportunity to participate.
Talking with Steve Longwell, athletic director for the Eaton Reds. Steve, what was your initial reaction when you saw what was coming down from CHASA?
I was super excited. I mean, I think it's just it's a great idea, you know, that they put into place to make sure that we get all sports in at some point in time during the school year. And yeah, they're shortened seasons, but the one thing that we don't want to run into like we did last spring is we don't want to get to a state championship event and not have it. And so I think these shorter seasons are going to allow us to get through the season, get through the playoffs, and be able to crown a champion.
Right, and starting right off the bat, I mean, with softball, you'll see it go through October, but then that two-month delay. Steve, I know a lot of the questions have been about kids moving and playing some club activities, some club sports during that layoff. Your thoughts on that as an athletic director?
You know, I think it's important for kids to be active during that time, and whether that's through open gyms or if there's club volleyball going on or what have you, it's going to be important for them to stay active.
So school districts across the country are starting to reopen, and especially here in Colorado, it's almost, I mean, people are almost guaranteeing the fact that at some of these schools there will be an outbreak and there will be a quarantine period. How does that affect, say your softball team or some of these other teams that are out there and participating? If the school goes on quarantine, how does that affect everything?
Well, I think it could have a major impact. Depending on what that looks like, I think there's still a lot of unknowns as far as if it's, contact with someone who had contracted COVID or if you actually did have COVID, you know, and what those look like. I know we're trying to get guidelines from the health departments and so forth to see what that would look like. And I think it's also going to vary from district to district or, you know, depending on what your school size is. But I could definitely see that happening where there's COVID cases in the schools and they're going to be shut down and you're probably going to be shutting sports down. And hopefully if that happens, it's for 14 days and it's not at the end of the season.
Right, right, and that's exactly what we saw at the end of the winter season last year. Steve, you brought up school size. I believe there's a petition going around right now for some of the smaller schools to try and play football here in the fall. You know, Rhonda tweeted out Saturday before the announcement talking about football, said 12 and a half players, which, if you can explain to me how the hell you can have 12 and a half players, I'd greatly appreciate it. But I know there's some smaller schools that are saying, well, there's counties in Colorado that still haven't had a single confirmed case. Your thoughts on that petition, your thoughts on smaller schools falling under the same blanket as some of these Denver schools?
Well, I think it's hard, Tanner. And, you know, I can't speak for the super small schools and school districts, you know, out on the Eastern Plains and stuff. I don't know what that looks like for them. It's different for them as it's different for a school like Eaton as it is to a Denver school. But what I will say is, you know, the state organization that all these schools belong to in Chassa had to look at things at a big picture and try to put plans in place that would incorporate the small, the medium, the large, you know, all the school districts across the state, all the schools that are part of the membership. And I think they came up with the best plan that they could. And, you know, I don't know if I'm totally in favor of the small schools going out and going rogue, if you will. But like I said, I'm not in those districts, so they may have some other information or facts that I don't.
Do you feel that Eaton High School could have held football games in a safe manner this fall?
I think a lot of places could have held football games in a fairly safe manner, but I don't think there would have been fans.
Yeah, and I know that's something that Rhonda Blanford Green, the Chassa commissioner, had talked about, that was very important about trying to keep that sense of normalcy, because then the next argument is, you know, the next argument would have been, okay, we can have football in the fall, but there'll be no fans. Then it would have been, are you telling me that my parents can't watch my senior game? So this is, they're trying to buy some time for themselves. I actually agree with you, Steve, and I believe we may be in the minority, at least from the most vocal side, but I was happy that they gave every student athlete out there a chance to fulfill their season in their respective sport.
Yeah, and they were very purposeful in setting up the seasons in that way so that kids wouldn't have to make choices because sports were moved to non-traditional seasons. And that's what it's all about, is making sure that our kids have opportunities and making sure that they have safe opportunities.
Speaking with Eaton Reds Athletic Director Steve Longwell about the Chassa decision that came down earlier this week in regards to the high school activities calendar. Steve, I want to give you a minute to talk about this. The people who say, well, Chassa doesn't want sports to happen, those are quite possibly the worst type of person, because Chassa is literally designed to make sure these activities happen. So talk about the work that the Chassa committee has put in throughout this crazy time, but the work that they always put in.
Well, they're constantly working. You hit that right on the head there. And you know, throughout this whole process, this wasn't something these plans weren't thrown together in the last 2 weeks. I mean, the Chassa commissioners went to work back in March and early April, coming up with plans and, you know, plan A. And, okay, well, let's look at plan A and evaluate that. And if that doesn't work, well, now we're going to come up with a plan B. And so they spent their entire summer coming up with plans to submit to the governor's office to try and get athletics played. And they did so in a manner that they were trying to get them played in the normal seasons, you know, and that's work that they do constantly, not just in a COVID year, but constantly.
Yeah, talking with Steve Longwell, couldn't have said it better. Steve, let's talk some athletics here. So you've got a softball team that's always in the middle of things. You've got a golf team that was young. They've got some experience now. But as you know, KFK is branching out. We had to get creative, too. We're going to be covering the Eaton Invitational next Thursday up there at the Eaton Country Club. We've never done this before. So are you ready to have some rookie golf commentators out there broadcasting you guys' golf event?
Hey, I think, you know, just as we have to be creative, you guys are being creative, and I think it's awesome, you know, and Who knows what doors this is going to open for the future?
Yeah, we're looking forward to it for sure, Steve. All of your athletes back, they're ready to roll. Talk us about the general state of Eaton Athletics right now as we sit here on August 7th.
Well, kids are super excited. You know, the practices are going to start next week. They're raring to go, and we all are. And so, I, like I said before, I'm excited. I'm really excited about what this year is going to hold. It's going to be crazy, and we're probably going to make a lot of changes on the fly, but I'm still looking forward to it.
Last question. I forgot to even ask this. I meant to earlier. Softball games, these sporting events, will there be fans in attendance? If so, what's that going to look like?
So, yeah, I speak specifically to softball this fall because that's basically the only sport that we'll have crowds in a contained area. But so basically we have to follow local guidelines, health department guidelines on the amount of spectators that come in. And all spectators, per orders from the governor's office, will be asked to wear masks even outside. But we're looking forward to that, you know, and we're looking at our numbers and looking at our space and how we can space people out. And I'm hoping that through some creativity that, you know, we ought to be able to put between, 75, 80, 100 fans into the softball game.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. Is that typical attendance?
On your
rivals?
Games, like a rival game or something like that, you might see upwards of 100 people. So I think we're going to be pretty safe.
Steve, appreciate your time as always. And as Tom Petty said, the waiting was the hardest part. Well, we're done waiting and we're ready to roll now. So good luck to you and your efforts. We'll be seeing you out there next Thursday. But thanks for all the good work that you do out there, Steve. We appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you, Tanner. Thanks.
That is Steve Longwell, Eaton Reds athletic director. That's interesting. I had not heard about the masks outside at this point. So that was something that kind of snuck through there. That'll be interesting to see. To be quite frank, the enforcement of that, not just with Eaton, but all of these Northern Colorado schools, especially the Weld County schools, that will be interesting to watch. Other things that are interesting, the state softball tournament. I don't know if you guys have ever been down there, but my goodness, it's a zoo getting in and out of there. But we'll find out. Like Steve said, going to be on the fly. I appreciate Steve Longwell. He's one of the best athletic directors to do it out there. He's been doing it for a long time. Appreciate his time as always. Proactive Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine, locations in Eaton and in Greeley. Hey, we've got sports back. You know, maybe it's not what you exactly wanted or thought it was going to be, but they're back. And for the athletes that are normally playing right now, they're going to keep training, so injuries can happen while you're training. Make sure that if something comes up, if you feel like something's tweaked, if it's a little bit off, go to Proactive Physical Therapy. They take walk-ins. You can call ahead, say, hey, I'm coming in. What do you need from me? And they'll get you in, get you evaluated, and get you going again. It's Proactive Physical Therapy. More online at ProactiveColorado.com. 4:35 now. We need to get out of here because we got Mike Freeman, a Weld County Commissioner Chairman, coming up next. When we come back, it's NOCO Now, presented by the J9 Agencies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
1310 KFKA, Greeley, Fort Collins, and Loveland. Your home for prep sports and the UNC Bears.
Now the time in the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. I'm Tanner Schwint. This is NOCO Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. Excited to be with you on a Friday afternoon. The weekend is oh so very close. And joining us now up on the Alt Feed Mill Hotline is Weld County Commissioner Chairman Mike Freeman. Mike, thank you so much for taking some time this afternoon. Great catching up with you.
Absolutely, Tyler. How are you doing today?
Doing well, doing well. Let's dive in here, Commissioner. I almost want to call this a little bit of a slower week, and by a little bit of a slower week, I mean that the governor didn't put any new regulations in for the entire state. It seems like those are few and far between nowadays.
Yeah, I think he didn't put any new ones in. He just extended some that he'd had in the past. So, yeah, probably a good week.
So what did I see? What did I miss that he had extended, Commissioner?
Just some of the CDPHE regulations and whatever. They go 30 days and then he just extends them. So nothing that was major.
Nothing. Well, that's like you said. That's always a good week, Commissioner. Let's keep it on COVID for just a minute here. We actually got some other stuff to talk about, but I always like to check in with you guys. I know you're monitoring those numbers very closely. What are the COVID numbers looking like here in Weld County?
You know, I think we're doing really well in Weld County. Actually, we've had one fatality in Weld County since June 2nd, and none since June 27th. So, you know, those are really good numbers. The entire month of July, there were only 24 citizens admitted to the hospital with COVID. So, you know, those numbers are really low.
There's no doubt that those are really low. And, you know, we've got incredible hospitals right here in our backyard ready to take care of it. Commissioner, how much those numbers, how much harder does it make hearing like the mask mandate and some of these other guidelines put in place by the governor when Weld County's sitting here in really good shape?
Yeah, it's difficult. I think, you know, you've got both sides. I mean, we hear from people that are upset that we're not enforcing, and we've got probably way more people saying we're glad you're doing what you're doing. So, you know, it comes back to, you know, personal choice, in my opinion. I mean, I'm certainly not opposed to anybody wearing masks. In fact, I encourage people to wear masks, but I also, you know, it's your choice.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Talking with Weld County Commissioner Chairman Mike Freeman. Commissioner, one of the big things coming up here, some of these school districts are getting ready to start back up. Are you worried about an increase in cases with some of these school districts getting ready to roll back, open their doors?
Well, you know, I think you're probably going to see some cases, just like you do with anything else when we've opened back up. But at the end of the day, I think when you weigh the risks and you weigh the cost benefits of this, schools need to open. The impact of kids not being in school and not being able to have in-person learning is, I believe, a much bigger impact on these kids' lives than the COVID issues.
Well, and you know, there's a lot of data out there that talks about the fact that the age range for these kids all the way up to the high schoolers really not life-threatening or very serious for that matter with a lot of these kids. But what would be your message to somebody worried about those kids possibly bringing it back into a household with elderly people and stuff like that? What is your message to families going back into the school year?
Well, I think it's the same message that we've had all along. And, you know, that's if you're sick, stay home, practice physical distancing, wash your hands, just use common sense. And I think these kids are going to be fine. I mean, both the CDC and the American Pediatrics are sitting out there putting articles out all over the place that kids need to be back in school. I think it's imperative.
Well, and we're going to see that in some form here in Weld County, at least District 6, is going to be doing an alternate schedule, but we are going to start seeing this. One of the other things that came out this week, and I know you keep a close eye on, Commissioner, is CHASA and the ruling announced that of the football being pushed back. Also, something that was in that ruling was that even spectators at these events will be required to wear masks, even if they are outdoors. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's unnecessary, but you know, each school district is going to have to make the decisions on what makes sense for them and how they handle these things. I'm glad to see that they're at least going to have sports. You know, I think it's going to make it really difficult on these kids. Once again, so you're going to do very few fall sports. So essentially, there really won't be any sports till January. Other than I think there's three sports this fall, and they all end mid October. And so then you start the three seasons with basketball starting January 1st, and football in March, and then baseball and track going clear to the end of June. So, you know, I'm glad to see that they're going to have sports in place. And, you know, I guess sports this way is better than no sports at all, because I think it's extremely important to these kids.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And that's exactly where I have been talking about the entire time. Is this ideal? No, but at least it gives every kid a chance to get out there and create those memories that we all have from playing high school athletics.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's really important.
Well, we will see how this all plays out. Commissioner, let's switch gears a little bit. A couple weeks ago, Denver District Court Chief Judge Michael Martinez ruled against the commissioners in your lawsuit challenging air pollution rules. Where we last left off was that you guys were reviewing the ruling, but kind of walk us through exactly why you guys were so compelled to file this lawsuit and where it sits now, because it seems like this has been an eternity ago since we've been talking about this.
Yeah, well, and so we've made the decision to appeal the decision. The ruling was that he didn't believe that Weld County had standing, and that was the reason that was the decision was made, and we disagree with that opinion. We believe we do have standing in what goes on in Weld County, and we've got the studies that are done, and we believe we have the ability to show the correct numbers. I think the one thing that's been really interesting with the air quality is the air quality has gotten tremendously better since COVID started, but there's been no reduction in oil and gas production. Nobody closed any wells down, so oil and gas production continued, and yet it went down, and I think that demonstrates what we've all known all along in the Front Range, that the air pollution is being caused from automobile pollution, not from oil and gas.
Well, and the other thing that I wanted to point to here, this piece out of the Greeley Tribune by Ann Delaney, but the quote from Martinez here saying that there was no injury to Weld County, and I think that that's pretty safe to assume that you could argue the opposite of that.
I would agree with that, and that's why he said there was no injury, so we had no standing, and we disagree with that. We believe we do have standing, and that's the reason for the appeal.
The other part of it was that the authority to sue a superior state agency. Obviously, you guys and your lawyer looking into this, you believe that you found a way to prove that you do have the authority to sue a superior state agency.
Yes, we do. We believe that we do, and that's also the reason we're going to appeal.
So what's the next step, Commissioner? When do we see this appeal start taking place? I know everything's been a little bit behind with COVID-19, but what's next? What can the people of Weld County expect?
You know, I'm not exactly sure of the time frame on the appeal. We'll get it filed probably within the next couple of weeks. And then, you know, the lawsuits and juries and judges move extremely slowly. So, you know, I don't know what the time frame is when we'll see a ruling on that and how long that appeal will take. Sometimes they can take quite a while. So we'll get it filed and we'll just wait and see what comes next.
Talking with Weld County Commissioner Chairman Mike Freeman. Commissioner, the state of the county, where do we sit? Address a little bit about what you and the commissioners have been working on.
Well, you know, we're continuing to do our job, and we're just getting ready to start into the budget process for 2021. We're actually looking at this in a little bit different way this time. Instead of just doing a 1-year budget, we're actually looking at a 3-year budget. We're looking at 2021, 2022, and 2023. The reason for that is we know that our assessed value in 2021 is actually going to be higher than it was in 2020, simply because of the way oil and gas, the way the oil and gas assessed value works, it's always 2 years in arrears. So in 2021, we'll actually see the revenue from 2019 production. So we're going to be up in 2020. We're going to be severely down in 2021 and 2022. So we can use the surplus that we have in 2020 to kind of balance that out over the next 3-year period and be able to continue to not furlough any employees, not lay any employees off, and continue to provide all the services that the citizens of Weld County have come to expect.
Was that surplus, is that going to be enough to do it, or do you expect that you will have to make some cuts in some areas?
We won't make any cuts. We'll be able to get through the balance. Hopefully, you know, that's a short-term deal. Hopefully, we're going to see as we get past COVID and we get some of this stuff figured out, and we start to see oil and gas production ramp back up again towards the beginning of 2021 and moving forward.
Well, I don't envy you looking at all those numbers and the budgets of it, but I know that you and the commissioners are doing everything that you can for what's best for Weld County. Commissioner, what is the state of the board? How are the commissioners getting together? It is still an election year. I know that people start to forget that, but it's an election year. There's going to be some new faces coming into that commissioner board as well, but what's the state of the commission?
Oh, we're in great shape. You know, we're all five of us are on the same page. We've got a great working relationship. We're going to continue to do the business of Weld County and continue to do what we believe is in the best interest of the citizens of Weld County. And you know, this is one of those things. As you see changes, that's not anything new. You have changes in commissioners all the time. And I look forward to the beginning of next year with two new commissioners and we'll have the opportunity to get the opportunity to work with some new people, and I look forward to it.
Weld County Commissioner Chairman Mike Freeman, Commissioner, any final thoughts on anything going on in the world? I'll leave it wide open to you.
No, I can't think of anything else. The one thing I would say, I want to put a shout out to the Weld County Fair Board and staff out there. We had a tremendous Weld County Fair. It went off without a hitch. You know, there was a lot of concern of how the sale would turn out because of the struggles with oil and gas. I haven't seen the final numbers, but I think it was probably not like it's been the last 3 years, where the last 3 years every year was set a new record down there. But it was a very successful sale. It was, there's still a tremendous amount of support from businesses around Weld County to support these kids. So it was great.
No, that's a great shout out there, Commissioner, as well. And did that end up being all live, or people attending the auction, or was there a virtual aspect of it as well?
A virtual aspect as well. So it was a live sale. But then you had the opportunity for virtual as well, and we did have online bids and the number of animals sold from online bids.
Well, you talk about adapting quickly, the Weld County Fair Board and everybody involved, well done to that. So, Commissioner, we appreciate your time. We'll be catching up with you real soon. But until then, stay safe, stay healthy, and keep fighting the good fight. We'll talk with you real soon, okay?
Yep, thanks. Sounds good, Tanner. Thank you.
Thanks. That is Weld County Commissioner Chairman Mike Freeman. The Weld County Fair, isn't that crazy? I mean, the Weld County Fair is normally such a big attraction for people that, whether you are into the agricultural industry or not, going down there, seeing the animals, everything that goes into that fair, kind of just seemed like it kind of I don't want to say breezed past it, but definitely not the power behind it that there is in normal years, where you're able to go down there and check it all out. But kudos to the Weld County Fair Board and everybody involved in making sure that goes off, because we talk a lot about high school athletics on this, but for a big portion of the people here in Weld County, of the kids here in Weld County, that is their sport, right? I mean, the 4-H, the FFA is what they live and what they die for at that high school level. And kudos to everybody to make sure that went off. Closing in on 4:53 now, the time. We're going to take a break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll get to the headline that caught my eye. We'll wrap up this week for NOCO Now. We'll let you know what's coming on tonight as well. This is NOCO Now, presented by the J9 Agencies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Get your day started right with up-to-date news, weather, and sports. Mornings with Gail, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. weekdays on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in, NOCO Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. Closing out 4:55, wrapping up the end of the week here. We obviously didn't have a show yesterday because of the Colorado Rockies that we're covering here, but it's been a good week. I mean, we got Michael Peterson on Monday and talking about what's going on over at Power to Play. They did have another Larimer County Health Department official come out and check it out. Again, they found that they were in good compliance, so I wanted to follow up on that story as well. Kevin Lytle. McConnell's been a very busy man. Of course, the Chassa news breaks, then the news and the story breaks about from Kevin Lytle and Miles Blumhardt of the Colorado, and with allegations that CSU is not handling, the CSU football team is not handling COVID-19 in proper fashion. That's national news going on right now. So it's been a busy week. Appreciate Steve Longwell and Mike Freeman for joining the program today. Of course, this program, we can only do it because of our sponsors like Mark Larson. Mark Larson, he's a great guy. I'm sure he's going to be out there golfing in that Duckbill tournament tomorrow. Like I will be out there as well. The Ducks Unlimited tomorrow at the Eaton Country Club. But he's a man of the people, right? He's out there shaking hands and what is it? Shaking hands and kissing babies. I kid a little bit with that, but Mark is very good at what he does. And especially right now, auto insurance, they've got rates that are off the hook cheap. So if you want to go check it out, it's Mark Larson, State Farm Insurance Agency. Let's get to the headline that caught my eye. The Colorado Rockies. How about them Rockies? In what we knew would probably a season be that would shape up pretty well for the Colorado Rockies. I don't think anybody expected them to be this hot this early. They are 9-3 at the moment, and yep, that is good enough. They are sitting at number one right now in the NL West, half a game above the Dodgers. They go tonight against the Seattle Mariners, 7:40 first pitch, pregame starting at 7 o'clock here on KFKA. You can find that game right here if you're not able to watch it, but it's Antonio Cinzatello on the mound. He's 2-0 with a 2.45 ERA. This team has been just a blast to watch. We're happy that this is our inaugural year in being the Northern Colorado affiliate for the Colorado Rockies. So, man, yesterday, though, that game, Daniel Murphy with a pinch hit homer to take the lead, and then Charlie Blackman with some insurance runs after that as well, with just an absolute hammer shot to right field. I mean, they just dropped it. I'm loving sports back on the TV. You've got the Avs who are just rolling. You've got the Nuggets who they dropped a tough one last night, but they're not worried about the seeding aspect. They're ready for the playoffs to get going. And then you got the Rockies who leading the NL West after 12 games. Not a lot of people saw that coming. They really didn't, but excited to see what the Rockies have in store. That'll do it for us. You've got the whole show encore coming up right now from 5 to 7. Then you got the Rockies pregame show coming up at 7 o'clock. Make sure you tune in tomorrow, Preps Rewind, Clark Johnson at 10 o'clock. Then, following my show every day next week, we'll have softball training camp coverage. 13 days, 13 teams, softball edition. Thanks to PDC Energy for that, but that'll be going starting with the Eaton Reds on Monday. We're excited for it. Everybody, have a great weekend. For Ryan Kelly, I'm Tanner Schwint. This has been NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK. We'll talk to you Monday.